Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dennis Sperling. We are back for a very special show. Welcome back, Sandman MGTOW. We are going to talk about a lot of questions, a lot of subjects that, are going to be tackled by this gentleman. And here's the thing. For those of you guys who don't know, Sandman MGTOW is one of the originators of the Manosphere. Not the Black Manosphere, the Manosphere, which predates all these imitators that come in and say they're the originators. Back when it was a small corner of the internet where men could go and seek refuge, this is when men like me discovered Sandman MGTOW. He, like so many others, were giving life-changing advice. What many refer to as red pill knowledge came about because of people like Sandman MGTOW, Tom Likas, Thinking Ape, Razorblade, Candy, Barbarossa, Stardust, Thugtician. These men awakened other men to the corrupt society that saw them as nothing more than utilities to be used up and disposed of. Thereafter, they opted to go their own way, do their own thing. After the men's rights movement fell in the 1980s and 90s, these men sought refuge on the internet. There was nearly three decades of history that predates what is currently referred to as the Manosphere. And in that time period, the originators have come and gone. Since the Manosphere has become popular because of people like MTR, lead attorney Kevin Samuels, and so many more, there are many who have popped up over the past 6 or 7 years and have attempted to lay claim to its formation. However, these individuals are often unable to expound in detail on the direction that the Manosphere is heading because they don't understand the circumstances for which it was formed. The Sandman MGTOW, as I like to call him, the Sandman, has over 100 million views on YouTube and over 2,600 videos that have been put up over the past decade. He's one of the most prolific progenitors of red pill philosophy. He is the originator of so many of the terms that we use and misuse. So it's important that we make sure we hear from Sandman and others like him. Sandman has been able to predict as far back as 8 years, 8 years ago, the woke left would begin to eat itself at some point. He talked about trans athletes back in 2014, giving these lovely ladies a hard time in sports. And, basically what the response society would have to men awakening with red pill knowledge. His accuracy has been uncanny. He has been even one of my greatest teachers as far as MGTOW philosophy and as related to female nature. I'm glad to welcome him back. Welcome back, Sandman MGTOW. It's always great to have you here, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right, welcome. All right, everybody. So we are on our way. Make sure you hit the number one button. We have Sandman MGTOW here. So Sandman, how's it going for you? Tell us, how's everything going?
Pretty good. I've had some new revelations the last few days. So I've been exploring probably the latest new part of the Manosphere. I would call it the Sigma male. Okay. And this is something that really came about early last year. I wasn't even aware of it until I've read about an Australian article where they were complaining that young boys and men were being suggested Sigma videos in their recommended feed on YouTube. So I'm like, and they were complaining about it. So I'm like, this has to be important if the feminists are getting angry about it. So I looked online and I found a couple channels. One is called Wise Thinker, and it's been a daily Sigma channel. So that's kind of interesting. So I'm kind of deep diving into that and trying to figure out what it represents and what it means. And for the most part, 90-95% of my own personal traits are Sigma. So it's when you combine MGTOW and Sigma, you basically have superpowers, because the Sigma is a man that basically has a personality trait that's high in openness, but he's also introverted. And again, nobody has made that observation. I'm kind of like the first one who's really saying that. And so a man like that, he works in his creative endeavors. And if he doesn't have a wife or relationship on the side, then he can plow that much more time into his work and creative endeavors, so he can achieve 3 or 4 times more than anybody else, right? Because he doesn't, he has that creative drive behind him.
So what's the difference? I mean, based on what you've, because I've done a broadcast on Sigma male, but We've heard the term alpha male thrown around. We've heard the term beta male thrown around. What is a sigma male in comparison to an alpha male? If you could just give us, highlight some traits for us.
Well, I think we need to kind of look back as to where alpha male comes from. And there's a book, I can't remember the name of the author, but it's called The Game, and it's from 2000 and something. And the author basically claims, you know, he says that, you know, the strong men are the alphas. And from there, the alpha term kind of went into the manosphere. And then by default, we have the beta. But that doesn't seem to be kind of enough to kind of describe all men. So we've had the sigma added on top of that.
So when you talk about sigma male, here's the thing that I've noticed. The alpha male needs the group. The sigma male doesn't need the group. The alpha male needs people to get behind him and lead, and so he can lead them. Whereas the sigma, go ahead.
Well, I would say that, okay, so you're absolutely right. But the alpha male is the man who basically, he gets all the betas in order and he commands them and he tells them what to do. So he leads by decree, by order from above. Mm-hmm. The sigma male, you know, the people are like, some people are confused. They're saying, how can this man lead without saying anything? He's leading by example. He's, you know, like, for example, a sigma thing that I did was I started my channel. I started daily content when nobody was doing that. And then all of a sudden, all these other people started doing it. So I wasn't telling anyone what to do. I was leading by example without telling people what to do. And then that's the type of leadership I'm thinking that they're talking about with the sigma. Like, again, nobody's really defining any of these terms. That's why I have to kind of go through this
and have to
build a conceptual framework around the sigma, because most of it is just like the same 5 or 10 articles repeating the same talking points, but nobody's going in and doing a deep dive.
I've given it a little bit of thought over the past year and a half since I discovered that whole notion of sigma male. And it seems to me that alpha male is by nature a simp. He has to be a simp because he's constantly chasing the women. He's constantly corralling the women. He's constantly posturing. Whereas a sigma male seems to be able to operate autonomously. He doesn't need the group dynamic to be productive or to have a sense of self-worth, if that makes sense. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's kind of like the whole, like, if we look in the past, we look at somebody like Edison, right? Or we look at someone like even like Elon Musk, if we compare Musk Musk said in an interview recently that he can't function unless he has a relationship or if he has people around. He needs at least his dog around. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he feels too lonely to kind of be himself. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think sigma, like, for example, for me, I like complete quiet and I don't like any pets or noise around me. Mm-hmm. And then I can be the most productive and I'm focusing, my introversion is what's actually fueling me. So I think there's a difference there.
Okay. Now, alpha, you mentioned this earlier, alpha males, they corral the beta males. They get the beta males in line. Do sigma males, go ahead.
But not only do they corral them, they also, with regards to, like, they get the best looking women so that then those betas respect them that much more.
Okay.
And then that way, oh, look, he has the most beautiful woman, that therefore that validates the success. Therefore I'm going to follow him. Okay. Right. So that's part of it.
So, but sigma males, and what I've learned, sigma males, these are the ones that the alpha males are actually intimidated by.
Like, absolutely.
They're the lone wolves. They're the ones that could come take over the tribe at any point where they want it to. So my question is, do sigma males feel the urge to dominate beta males? I mean, you get what I'm saying? Because it's the alpha males that are corralling them. They're trying to impress the beta males. Hey, look at all the beautiful women. Look at my riches. Look at my big muscles. The sigma male seems otherwise. It seems he doesn't need to dominate beta males in order to feel justified in this position. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the sigma male wants to awaken the beta males and try to uplift them, but... Wow. But I think it's part of nature that we can't do that. It's like you're born with a certain personality type, mm-hmm. right? So that's going to determine a lot of your behavior going forward. So if you're like, I was born the way that I am in terms of my, you know, my introversion and my openness and my creativity and my drive. Okay. So I have no choice but to follow that. just like the alpha has no choice but to follow what he's doing. Now, what pisses the alphas off about the sigmas is that it, like, if you've grown up in an environment where you've got the alpha, you've got all the betas, and you're the sigma, the alpha sees you and you have all this confidence, and it, to him, it doesn't look as though you should have that confidence because you haven't done anything to earn it. He's done all, you know, he's basically flexing his muscles. He's, you know, walking the walk. And now you show up and you don't have any status, and you just start acting whichever way you want.
Right.
He's going to be threatened by that. He has to put you in your place because you're stepping out of line. He thinks you're a beta that's stepping out of line. But you're not a beta. So he's going to have to target you over and over again to get you to comply, but you're never going to comply. So he's going to constantly keep bullying you over and over again.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to see how that,
again, I'm just kind of realizing a lot of this on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely, and I did a broadcast on that about a year ago, and I found it extremely intriguing because I find myself with a lot of sigma traits. I don't feel the need to dominate people. I find myself always trying to uplift other guys and help them out and get them to stand up and do the things that are best for them. And I don't take any solace in putting people down or trying to put people in their place. And so I think, can we say that part of a sigma male's character is compassion? Is that something we can say?
I think it's kind of like the whole, you know, teach a man to fish and he can, you know, fish for a lifetime. I think we're giving them compassion, but we're also giving them the tools to kind of go out there and you know, figure out their life, you know, so they can go and do it themselves.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's that. Well, we're going to have to revisit that. So we're going to have to revisit that. I definitely look forward to reviewing your videos on that particular subject. So we'll table that and maybe we'll do that on round three. But next up, let's talk about one of the hottest subjects that's out right now. And I know a lot of you folks have tuned in for the divestor conversation, and Sandman has, I've sent him the videos. He has some very keen observations on that. But I want to talk about this Roe v. Wade judgment that was just leaked. So let me give you the background on it. So Mississippi has a law that they said they've outlawed abortions, even if you are RAPE'd, or if there was incest involved. And so this is just a flat ban on abortion. You have 6 Supreme Court justices who are, and you know, United States Supreme Court justices, 6 United States Supreme Court justices who are Republican appointed. The Chief Justice is their best bet to be a swing vote, but even Chief Justice Roberts voted on side of the supermajority. Aside from that, you got a Bush appointee, 3 Trump appointees, and I think it's 2 Bush appointees, 3 Trump appointees, and somebody else who's a Republican in there. But the bottom line is you got a six man woman supermajority, and so they're able to push through whatever the Republicans have a wish list that's being granted to them. So what you have now is a leaked judgment that came about because somebody circulated a February draft judgment. It got out, a political got hold of it, and now you see the lovely ladies are running crazy in the street talking about our rights are being stripped away. And here's the thing, it's taken 50 years, but the reading of this judgment, and I'll give you the Constitution, does not read a right to privacy. There is nothing in there that says you have a right to privacy. There is something that says due process. You have a right to due process, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or the pursuit of property, depending on what version of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution you read. But in that liberty frame, y'all, in that liberty terminology, the Warren Court read into that a right to privacy. That doesn't exist. And Judge Alito basically eviscerated that and said there is no right to privacy. So if Roe v. Wade falls, then also all those other laws, all those other cases that came about, Planned Parenthood, same-sex marriage, birth control, all of these fall in the wash. So you see the liberal left losing their mind. What are your first, and this is all this week, this is new stuff. What are your thoughts on this, Sandman? Just go ahead, give it to us.
Well, what's really scary is we had the whole Elon Musk thing last week. Now we have this, and it feels like Musk buying Twitter is like the battle of Stalingrad, right? That's where the war, the culture war is shifting in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So now the liberals, instead of going on the offensive, now they're going on the defense, right? And, you know, we're moving towards the midterm elections. That's going to be another defeat. It's just going to keep going, right? It's going to keep coming along. Mm-hmm. So, I should be celebrating. You know, I go on Twitter and I see all of the right-wing people that I follow, or even the people in the center, and they're all celebrating. And I'm just kind of like, this isn't something to celebrate, because these people are going to remember all the bad things that happened to them over the last 5 to 10 years. Right. And then they're going to retaliate for all the stuff that the liberals have done over the last 5 to 10 years. And that means, you know, the culture war could get into full swing and we could be in some serious trouble.
But don't you think the left has gone too far, Sandman? Don't you think they've just gone too far? You can't call a her because she may be offended. So you have to call her a they or a them. I mean, don't you think they've gone too far?
They went too far 5 to 10 years ago. I remember watching the men's rights movement back in 2013. Like when I started my content, I was watching videos that were filmed here in Canada mm-hmm. with the men's rights movement, and the women were, the feminists were just going absolutely nuts. And everyone, you know, like Big Red, everyone remembers the Big Red era. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, like, but if you watch that event that she came from, you see this like mass hysteria mm-hmm. and then it just kept going and escalating over the next 5 to 10 years. And so they've gone too far, but you know, if you stop them, but you go too far on the right, the pendulum swings too far in the other direction. That's a warranted fear. That's what happened in the Second World War. Like the Weimar Republic with the Germans, you know, they had, you know, prostitution and sex, and you know, they lived very loose lives. And then you get Mr. Mustache showing up mm-hmm. with his backwards Buddhist symbol and telling everybody, this is how you have to live. And everyone falls in line because they remember the horror of the Weimar Republic. So, you know, that, so everyone can see, you know, the he, her pronouns and stuff, and they think it's insane. And so now they could enforce it the other way around.
Yeah. All right. I get what you're saying, but, you know, and I'm just going to enjoy the ride for a little while. Let me tell you, you got DeSantis over here in Florida, who's given $70 million to programs to empower fathers. You got him, and he's probably going to run for president in 2014. I don't think Trump's going to run. I think he might do it for publicity. But the thing is, I think we need this because, you know, since around, I'm going to say around 2008, it's been a wash with liberalism, and it's just really taken America off course. And, you know, I have sons and I got to live here, and it's difficult. But go ahead, sir.
Okay, so I'm releasing a video in the next few days called America is Woke and Gay. It's more woke and gay. So what's happening right now, if you look at Gen X, for example, 4% of Gen X would say that they were LGBT. So the generation before that, they would say 2%, you know, and then it would go to zero once you got down to the great generation from the Second World War. But then you go the other way, and the millennials, 8% identify as LGBT. And then the Zoomers, which are coming up now, which are in their early 20s, 16% of them identify as LGBT. So we're doubling every generation. Right. So in two generations, you're talking about 50% of the population identifying as LGBT, right? So I've got I've got all this information that, and I'm showing this. So when people see the statistics overhead, they say, oh, only 5% or 4% identify as the whole population, but they're not looking at the youngest demographic. And that's why Disney's saying, well, look, if in 30 years, 20, 30 years, 50% of the kids and teenagers identify as LGBT, then we need to start adapting our theme parks to them. We need to start catering to them because they're going to expect that. Otherwise, they're going to go to Six Flags or they're going to go over to Universal Studios. So if we get on this first, we're going to take more market share. So this is nothing to do with, you know, necessarily politics. It has more to do with business, you know, because they go to Saudi Arabia and they set up a theme park and they follow all the local ideas and, you know, things there. So they're just trying to go with the trend.
Yeah. So they don't want to go the way of Harley Davidson, basically. Is what
you're No.
All right. And for those of you guys who didn't get that reference, you hardly ever see people riding Harley Davidsons because they realize that this generation of people don't ride motorcycles. They don't ride hogs, as they say. And so Harley Davidson, they did this big expansion back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And now they're just having a downsize because people aren't buying bikes because that's not what this generation wants. But here's the thing. Don't you think the culture, and I'm going to ask you your thoughts. Do you think the culture is driven by the entertainment or is the entertainment driven by the culture? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a feedback loop, but I also think it's like a lot of these sexual deviancy comes from higher dopamine rushes, right? So you get kids with their phone at the age of like four, five, like 10, 15, whatever. They're looking, they can get access stuff they're not supposed to at a very young age, you know, whereas when we were growing up, like you had to get the magazines, you had to like get a VHS tape if you were lucky. Yeah. Right. So you know what I'm talking about,
brother.
Yeah. And you have to make sure that no one caught you. Otherwise your head would be flying out the window.
Yeah.
Right. So you're looking at these kids and I knew something was going on about 20 years ago, 25 years ago when one woman asked me, she's like, it was a family friend. She's like, can you come over and fix my computer? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, her kids was using the computer. It was in his bedroom. And like he was getting agitated and jittery, right? Mm. And I was like, so he was getting withdrawal because his computer hadn't worked for a couple of days and he wasn't able to access adult content on the internet back then. Okay. This is the late 90s, right? And she told me this, right? And I was kind of shocked by it. So what I think is happening is, you know, the people are looking for more extreme things to get off on, right? So ordinary male, female, like, you know, stuff that would have worked for us in the past isn't working anymore. Right. So they're going to more extreme content.
Wow.
And so that's pushing a lot of the sexual changes in the marketplace.
All right. So you mentioned a feedback loop. So isn't this time for some conservatism? Because at a certain point, we won't have enough guys to join the military. We won't have guys to be plumbers and policemen and construction drivers, construction workers and truck drivers. Yeah, there's some credit for the automation, but we need guys. And despite what the lovely feminists think, men are necessary. We built this world, we need it. We need men to run this world. So, I mean, don't we need an infusion of conservatism? I guess what I'm saying is, are we going to see a balance? Isn't it? We're going to see a balance in society now. We need this, I think. What are you
thoughts on that? Look, for example, in Canada, where I'm at, 1% of the population gets imported every year. Mm. And it's a lot of those people that are coming in from overseas are conservative. And those are the people that are doing a lot of those jobs you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, but in the States, your population, I think it's only 400,000, 500,000 a year. I can't remember the exact number.
About 400.
Yeah. So we're getting 400,000 a year and we have 36-37 million people. Okay. You have 300 plus million and you're getting the same number. So that's, if the culture is changing, you're not going to get enough people for the military. That's why there's the push to get all these women in the military and, you know, pregnant women who fly planes, right? Into combat.
Pretty desperate. Right? So I want to, speaking of pregnancy, I want to go ahead and dig deep into this this abortion law. So what do you think is going to be the outcome of outlawing women to have outlawing abortion in 26 of the major United States states. What do you think is going to be the outcome?
I think it's just going to be, you know, for example, if you're in Texas and you need an abortion, you might just drive into New Mexico because it's not that far, right? Or you might, like, so all of the border states, you know, you, all of a sudden you're going to start to see, you know, doctors starting to set up their shops, you know, in places where they can, where the law is in their favor. So it's just going to shift the industry, right? It's just going to shift, you know, so hotels and, you know, doctors are going to move, and it's just, women are just going to go to where they can get their abortions. I don't know what the abortion statistics look like. I looked at some statistics in terms of the Black African American fertility rate.
Right.
And right now it's under 1.8. That was 2018. So it's below replacement. So all these people, the stereotype of the Black woman with the five kids under her arm, right? Like, is that's dead. That's gone.
You know, the crazy thing is when you actually look at the stats, 51% of Black men are unmarried and don't have children. 51% of us are unmarried and don't have children. 31% are married and live with their wives. And yeah, of course, you got a few guys dibbling and dabbling outside the marriage. But for the most part, it's about 18% of the Black men who are reproducing with 80% or it's the 80-20
rule. 80-20 rule. Yeah.
It's about 18% of the Black men that these women are choosing who are impregnating them. And here's a crazy thing. There's a study out and it shows that 1.2 million Black children are, well, let me say 1.2 million children are born to Black women who are sired by white, Hispanic and Asian men. And so it's not even the majority of Black men that are even reproducing with these women. And I guess what happens in a society where women don't need men per se, they can pick and choose who they want to mate with. I've actually heard you speak about that on one of your channels. And what I see is Black women doing the same thing. We're seeing their female nature play out, run amok. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have I had a bunch of videos talking about the swirling sisterhood, you know, Black women. I had to pull everything down. I was getting flagged constantly because all I did is read some comments by a Black man who paid me to read his story. Right. And all of the women, they freaked out. They said, oh, Sandman's making that up and this and that. But it was, that's what somebody told me. Right. So they literally forced me to take down, didn't force me to, but I took down 5 to 10 videos because they were constantly, like I was constantly getting hits and I didn't want to get any strikes. I think I got one strike and then I was like, okay, this is a community of women I don't want to mess with.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I had one show up on my doorstep a few weeks back. They referred to themselves as divestors. And I mean, some of the things that this woman was saying, I just found it ridiculous. I'm gonna actually let one of these clips play. And I for everybody in the chat room, make sure you hit the number one button. And if you appreciate what I'm doing, make sure you contribute. But let's go ahead and just look at some of these outlandish statements that this lovely lady is making. I'm going to pull it up right here and give me a second. I'm queuing it up right now. The first thing I want you guys to pay attention to is the fact that this lovely young African-American woman who has a Black father and a Black mother.
If you were raised by a Confederate flag in this toxic culture, that means that you probably have that same toxic culture embedded in you. So you may do the same thing that these other women are doing.
Oh no, that's why I'm not out here having a bunch of kids by different men. Those are the mammies.
I get it. But what I'm saying is, listen to me carefully. It's your programming that's the problem. It's not your skin color, it's your programming.
It's the culture.
Toxic culture. And so you're taking that same toxic culture over to these other people's communities. And I know you're thinking, I'm getting away from Blackistan, I'm getting away from these Black men. But it's not us, it's you.
Not me.
Well, your mom is Black, right?
My mom and dad are Black, yeah.
Okay, so your mom taught you the same culture she was raised in.
Well,
so you're going to take that toxic culture to this white man's community.
Okay.
Hey man, you saw the video, you saw it in full. It's on my page, you guys, if anybody wants to see it. What is your first impression of that whole spectacle?
Well, first of all, you kind of brought something up that happened a while back. Like, I had guys sending me videos and complaining. Black guys were saying, like, look at what happens when a black woman gets together with a white male. She's civil to him. She behaves all nice and prim and proper. And then look what happens when she gets together with the same woman gets together with a black man. She's yelling at him and screaming at, throwing shoes at him. And it's like two different people. Right. So do you believe that these black women, like say a white family accepts one of these black women into their circle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she still behaves nicely. Like she's not going to turn into the shoe throwing person. Yeah.
Let's call them lovely ladies. We'll call them lovely ladies that were, you know, the algorithm. I don't want to get, you know,
the word shoe is not going to get you banned or demonetized, right?
So, yeah, but the black woman will. They will come from
you. Okay. Wow. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. So, anyway, so when you're saying that they're going to affect the other communities they get into, I don't necessarily see that. Like, how do you, like, can you explain that to me? Like, what do you think's going on there?
Well, see, you know, I've been practicing law for about 22 years. And what I find is you can pretend like you're someone else only for so long. And then the real you will show up, you know? So you'll get angry. Somebody will do something to piss you off. And the next thing you know, you're back to, you know, ghetto fabulous again. And you're reliving what you've been doing. You're going to explode. The truth, what I found is that you never know who a person really is until they're afraid, they're angry, or they don't think they need you anymore. So then they come out the bag and then you see who they really are. And so I can only imagine if some poor guy, he thinks he has this feminine sweet woman, you know, who happens to be black. And then the next thing you know, he does something to make her mad. And now she's taking it back to the neighborhood. So I don't think you can keep that mask on for too long. I think, and if you don't believe me, look at some of these rich white movie star guys who are finding themselves in divorce court with these lovely ladies.
Well, I was with somebody for 10 years and they kept the mask on the whole time.
Wow.
but if a woman shows the person she is without the mask, mm-hmm. I usually run, right? So she figured this out pretty early and she realized I better keep the mask on, right? Mm-hmm. And then I heard rumors, you know, people would say, oh, you're so different around your family versus when you're around him. And I didn't kind of clue in on that, right? Like it was almost like they were giving me that message for some reason. Maybe they were trying to sabotage my relationship with her, right? Because you know how women, you know what, how men are, like a man will tell his friend the truth to help his friend. Mm-hmm. But a woman will tell, I can't remember exactly how it goes. A woman will tell her friend the truth, or like she'll tell her something to actually hurt her. Right. So anyway, I've got it written down somewhere. I'm working on it for my book. So it's kind of one of those things.
in the context, and I'm going to go back to this divestor lady, in the context of...
But what does divestor mean? Like, what does that term even go... Like, when I hear that, I'm kind of like, it would help to know.
When I first saw the term divestor, I thought, are these... South Africa's been liberated. What are we doing here? We've already divested from South Africa. Well, where are they get... And it's hard to pin them down, you know, but... It basically means they've separated themselves in mind, body, and spirit, and physically as best they can from the black community.
From their roots, basically.
From their roots. And then you have the extreme divestors who say that they are, what is it? I think I don't say black male oriented. They're no longer black male oriented or something like that. And these women literally hate black culture. They hate black men particularly. They hate black culture generally. I've heard, and and this is going to sound extreme. This is going to sound crazy when I tell you this, but you have black American women on the internet or you have black women on the internet saying things like black males are bullet bags and they love to see when the cops shoot them down. Hmm. You have these same women saying things like abort black male babies. This is what they're saying. They're saying, and recently there was some lady who said that she gets off on watching white cops beat up or shoot or kill black male suspects. So this is a problem. And here's the thing. It just came to my doorsteps. I've been hurt. I heard about it. Like, oh, the vest is one of that. You know, you hop on YouTube, you got all kind of wild ones on here, you know. But this is serious because they actually have followers. And one of the main characters was just allowed to go on Fox Soul, which is like a black show or whatever, you know. And so it's a problem. It's a problem. But in the context of female chameleons, what are your thoughts on that performance she was putting on? And who is she putting that performance on for?
I think she was putting that performance on for her boyfriend, her blonde haired, blue eyed boyfriend or husband, who was, like you said, standing next to her just out of sight. Right. So it was to kind of confirm to him her value system.
Okay. Okay. Please give us, we need that, Sandman. Like, tell us, why was it important for her to confirm her value system for her blonde haired, blue eyed, white boyfriend?
No, she's giving him validation. She's telling him, you know, I believe in the same things that you believe in. So therefore, lower your guard so that I can get married to you and then, you know, plan the divorce. Right. Already thinking four steps ahead. Right.
I mean, but look at the extreme nature of what this woman is willing to do just to play the chameleon role. Is this part of female nature? Talk to us, Sam, man, because this is confusing. It's crazy. Well,
look what happens during wartime. Like, you know, the Second World War, the mustache men come in from Germany into France, and all of a sudden, all the French women are throwing themselves at them. Mm-hmm. Then they get kicked out, and then the Americans come in, and then they throw themselves at the Americans. So women just kind of, this is what they do. Like, you know, even my grandmother, she was from Ukraine. And, you know, she went to Germany to work in a forced labor camp. And then she met my grandfather there. But he was from the Balkans and he was a wealthy man. So she used that opportunity of being in, you know, a concentration camp to basically get out of the Soviet Union when the war ended so she could go to a place where she would have everything made for her. Like, you know, again, I would never tell anybody in my family this, but it's kind of like, that's kind of what it looks like to me. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and I've said this before. I mean, are women race loyal?
Sorry?
Are women generally, are they race loyal?
No, they're not loyal to their tribe, to their race. They're loyal to their male relatives. That's pretty much about it, you know, but other than that, you're not going to see any real loyalty. No.
And, you know, and the thing is, saying, man, I've seen this and we've seen this. Whether it's black, white, Hispanic, Asian, women typically go for the most suitable males. And it doesn't matter what ethnicity or culture or religion they're from. They literally have no loyalty. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's my observation. What are your thoughts on that?
They don't. And that's one of the things they cover up and they don't want us to know about.
Why is it that black men... Let me give you a little quick.
It's not just black men. It's all men don't think about this because we're not taught to think that way. And if any of that information even pops up, women immediately come in and censor it.
Mm. You know, the thing is, I think we learn more. See, I believe in the diversity of ideas. And I think that we learn more from each other and we can confirm more from each other. There's this division in the manosphere. You know, they got the black manosphere, the white manosphere, or the manosphere. Pretty soon they'll have a Hispanic manosphere. But
they've got the Brazilian MGTOW channels that all of them were erased by YouTube. And wow. The Brazilian MGTOW community was actually the biggest in the world.
Hmm.
So, and then the women there went absolutely nuts. And I spoke to one guy, he even converted back to becoming a blue pill simp after. And I asked them, like, what's going on? Like, why are these women, you know, why are they like this? Why are they so feminist in Brazil now? Yeah. And he said, because what happens is when your country is a Christian country, and then, you know, the Christianity dies out, all of those people need another value system to replace Christianity as a crutch. So they all go to feminism. Like, a lot of these women go to feminism, and then they go at it with the same fervor that they had for Christianity. Right. So the countries that are the most Christian are going to become the most feminist. So, you know, you look at places in East Asia, you look at South Korea, and everyone's like, why are, you know, there's no feminism in Japan, but there's feminism in South Korea. Well, that's because there's a large Christian community in South Korea. Right. So when I realized that, I was kind of like, so that, you know, Toronto, where I'm in,
right,
like, it had the largest number of churches per capita in North America at one point. So, and now it's the capital, one of the capitals of feminists in North America. This is where Slut Walk came from. Mm. You know, this is, you know, like, a lot of the stuff comes from here. And so Christianity that dies out, so the places in the center of the country that are like Republican Christian places, there's a danger that if those places turn to feminism, like, they're going to become more like the feminists on the left and right coast are going to look like lightweights compared to the ones in the middle.
Why is it that feminism is facilitated by Christianity based on your research?
It's a belief system. Like, when you believe in something blindly, and then that you lose that value system, it doesn't just disappear and you kind of become an atheist. It, like, a lot of the time you need to transfer the religious feelings that you have to something else. You need to worship something else. And so now that, you know, women are worshiping their bodies and their bodily fluids, you know, by painting themselves up and going off in public and, you know, like, menstruating in public. And it's kind of like, you know, it's ridiculous, but that's what they're doing. Mm.
Wow. Well, Sam, man, here's the thing. I don't want to, we're going up into about an hour now. We're at about 44 minutes. I want to get a couple more questions in, and I don't want to hold you up too much longer. What do you think about this situation with Will Smith that happened a few weeks back? What was that about, man? I mean, what is he trying to do here? Well, what are your thoughts on that? We've had a few weeks to digest it. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, he was laughing at Chris Rock's joke.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't laughing anymore and he was angry. So he was picking up on Jada Pinkett looking all upset. Now, we don't know what happened between her looking upset and he was laughing. So he's laughing, she's upset. And then we go back to Chris Rock for, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then we see Will Smith. So we don't know emotionally, like, were they talking? Did he look over at her? And, like, we didn't get that like response, you know, from him as to her being pissed off. But clearly something happened where he didn't look happy. He felt like she was going to make life very difficult for him because of that joke. Right. So he'd have to hear about that joke for the next few days. And, you know, he'd be sitting there at home and trying to, like, enjoy his peace and quiet. And yeah, he can't, because she's nagging, bothering him. She's using him as an emotional tampon for that night. And he's pissed. He knows what's coming. So he's going to take it out on Chris Rock because it's emotionally transferring. So he's preemptively transferring her emotional abuse onto Chris Rock. So the energy is flowing from her to him to Chris Rock. And then she's laughing at the whole thing because that, look what she just did without actually saying a word.
Right.
Like, that's power.
How do you classify a woman like that? What category would you put her in based on red pill knowledge?
Well, look, they married a long time ago, right? Like, so he loves her. He's been very deeply emotionally connected to her, and she knows that, and she can exploit that. Mm-hmm. So she's probably been pushing the boundaries over the years, and, you know, and that's why she can get together with 20 something year old rappers. And
I mean, who stays in a relationship with your woman is bang some dude half your age in your house? I mean, who stays in that relationship?
Well, but they had an open relationship, so he could go and do. So we don't know. Like, there's too many unknowns to kind of get a full picture. But I just think it's an emotional circle jerk, right? Like, they're just passing the emotions around, and that's it. Okay.
Well, I mean, I just thought it was an interesting, and you know, as far as him, I don't know what he, I thought he was an alpha. Now we're looking at him like a beta. We don't know what is Will Smith. I mean, based on your observation of his characteristics, what is he?
He's a beta acting like an alpha because he's an actor.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, if you guys appreciate this, hit the number one button. Make sure you contribute to the Super Chat, the Cash App, and the PayPal if you appreciate this. Sandman, what else? I mean, we got about 10 minutes left here. What other subjects would you like?
Well, you were bringing up, I don't know if you brought this up before the show, but we were talking about Dave Chappelle being, let's just say he was being heckled with fists on stage, right? So, okay, I've actually got footage of Dave Chappelle at an event, but I got it backstage, right? So he didn't know I was taking photos of him, and because I do photography as freelance, right. I was. So he comes out of this gate. So it was the premiere for the film with Lady Gaga and I can't remember the other guy, but the A Star Is Born, that was the movie. And so I was kind of in the back where the crowd was, and this gate opens up, and Dave Chappelle doesn't want the spotlight. He doesn't want to go on the red carpet, and he doesn't want the attention of the red carpet. So he goes in the back and he actually interacts with the fans, with people. And I was like, this guy is really like doing the best thing. He doesn't want to give the media the attention. He's giving the attention to the people who actually care about him. Right. He's not giving the media money. So I look at him as a Sigma male because he's literally, you know, like he doesn't want, you know, the attention, and he doesn't want that like alpha status that, you know, the other main actors want.
Do you think that what we saw with the attack on Dave Chappelle, you think this is an attack on free speech? Now that we have a generation of people who, you know, they think they're special, they're above criticism. Do you think this is, we can look forward to more of this based on your analysis of society and the direction that society is heading?
Well, if Twitter changes, so like, let's say Musk is successful and all of a sudden the left and the right are there and it's now freedom of speech and, you know, the best ideas win. What that's going to do is going to force YouTube and Facebook and, you know, and Reddit and all the other platforms to open up their speech because they won't be able to compete with Twitter. Like right. Musk said, he will allow monetization of tweets. So if you get a viral tweet, you're going to make money off that. So now YouTube and TikTok and everything else is going to have to compete with people on Twitter who can say way more free things and get way more attention. So that's good. That's great because that's going to change the culture the other way.
What do you think Elon Musk is trying to do here by purchasing Twitter? I mean, he basically owns everything. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, what do you think? Did he just want his own avenue to be able to speak freely? And here's another one. You think he'll give Trump his Twitter account back?
Yeah, he'll give it back. But I don't know if Trump will necessarily take it, though.
Really? Why not?
Well, he's saying that he's not, but he probably will. But mm-hmm. We don't know. It's a toss up at this point. Because of the other social network that he created, I can't remember the name of it. I don't know. It kind of jumped my mind. But he created another network, and so he's trying to bring people over there. But the problem is Twitter, if you look at big tech, when you build a tech platform, there's something called the network effect. And if you have the largest network effect and you have the largest number of users, it's almost impossible for any other person to catch up with you because you have such a big head start. So, you know, creating your own network, social media network, doesn't work. And Musk figured this out. And that's why he, instead of creating another social media network, he just bought Twitter and he's just going to change it from the top down.
Okay. So what do you, you know, and you guys, if you appreciate this, make sure you hit the number one button, put a number one in the chat room for Sandman. You guys go ahead and do that. Go ahead and hit that number one button in there for Sandman. You guys, if you appreciate having him here. So the thing is, and the reason I really enjoy having Sandman here is because, as you heard, he's one of the progenitors of what we call red pill knowledge. One of the people who, when social media was just, where YouTube and the MGTOW community was just a small little dark corner of the internet, He was basically helping people save their sanity, save their lives. Men, get understanding. And so because of that, because he knows where it started and he's watched the direction of the manosphere, he can probably predict where we're headed. So, Sam, I'm gonna get you on the spot here. I'm looking at the manosphere and I'm looking at the effect that it's having in politics. I see a shift in more male-oriented legislation starting in conservative states like Florida. I see lots of things that the men's rights movement wanted. I see men waking up. I see men not getting married. Men saying hell with, you know, having kids, especially in the Black community. I see this happening. What is your prediction for the direction? I mean, because we're big now. I mean, the manosphere is mainstream now, right?
So what I think is happening is you're seeing that the conservatives are figuring this out. I think that whoever's in power is realizing, wait a minute, they're not reproducing. This is not good, right? So they're seeing the effects of all the bad policy. So now they're going to go back, try to walk some of those policies back. And that's what you're seeing with Roe versus Wade. You're probably going to see more similar. They're going to try to coax us back into reproducing. It's not going to work because reproduction it's not about whether or not a man is free or not free. It has to do with, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it has to do with urbanization. So the moment you take people out of rural settings and you put them into cities and you give them technology in their pocket that acts like a city because you can communicate with anyone in the world, right, you're effectively giving them things that are alleviating their natural boredom to have kids. Because people used to have kids. Do you think they had kids because they wanted to? No, I had them because, you know, pressure from parents. They needed extra hands on the farm. They wanted a form of cheap entertainment. You know, all of these things they didn't have. You know, before TV, the birth rate was high. It was when television was introduced. That's when we started going below replacement in North America, especially with the white population. So you got, you know, in the 60s, it was by the late 60s, early 70s, there was a TV in almost every single household, and the birth rate was under 2. Right there in 1970. So if we want to get the birth rates back up, we need to take our technology back to something that's like the 1930s with radio. And we're not going to do that. We're not going to give up our phones. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think the establishment, whether it's right, center, left, whatever, they're going to figure out how do we get the birth rate up, and nothing will work. The populations will keep crashing. The only way to get the birth rate back up is by using, you know, either artificial wombs or paying women for surrogacy services. That's going to be the only way to do it.
I mean, that's going to be cost prohibitive. Most people don't have the money to, you know, hatch a baby in a little incubator or something.
With the artificial womb, we don't have the technology. But if you, like, let's say you made surrogacy somewhat affordable, and you know, a woman, you could pay a woman $50,000 or $70,000 a year for to carry that child, let's say $70,000. Okay. So to the state, if it's a male child, that child is going to produce $150,000 in net taxes throughout their lifetime. Mm-hmm. More. So if you subtract the 150 by the 70 that you've invested in the surrogacy service, that means to the state, it's a net positive of $80,000 in whatever dollar equivalent it's going to be in the future. Right. So the state is going to start doing a calculation and saying, like, okay, if we want to get our birth rate up, we hire all these nannies, and we hire all these surrogates, and then we tell people you can have a child through surrogacy. We will cover the cost. And, you know, if you have a boy, you know, we'll cover the cost. Right. So you could, whatever state implements something like that first and has 70-80% males will win over all the other states because it'll have more productive capacity than all the other states. So
go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
But so a state like that would have to have a sexual outlet for those males. So they would need, you know, like some sort of virtual sex system or like lover bots or androids or whatever else they could use to kind of get their sexual tenergy out. And then if they need to reproduce, they just pay the woman for her surrogacy services. So we're going to have to reorganize our society. How we do it, in order for the human species to survive, we're going to have to reorganize our society, or we're going to have to regress back with our technology and our culture and how we live. And it's those are the two choices.
It sounds like that's going to be painful.
For who?
It's going to be painful for a lot of people who have been used to doing things a certain way. And I think men are going to suffer primarily because they're going to tax the hell out of us. They're going to try to force us to do things that we don't want to do through coercion.
At first.
I see that happening.
At first, but the states that don't do that are going to attract all of the best males to them, and then they're going to become the prosperous places.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sandman MGTOW. It's always great to have you here. Can we let us know how can we find you? How do we find Sandman MGTOW on YouTube, or is there can we find you?
Just do a search for Sandman MGTOW on YouTube, and you'll find me on there. Unless they're playing games with the algorithm like they usually do. Let me see if I can quickly. No, I'm not going to bother. But yeah, if you're doing it for me, there you go. It'll pop up. Yeah, you'll see my latest videos and all that wonderful stuff.
Sandman MGTOW.
Yeah, there you go.
This is Sandman MGTOW here. This is here. I can't believe I'm not subscribed. I got you on my bootleg channel. I got a secret bootleg channel, so you're subscribed on that side. But I put a list of all the videos that that I recommend in the description section. They're here at the bottom. Go through them, folks. Anybody, Introduction to MGTOW, True Force Loneliness, Women in the Wall, Dried Fish Lady versus Herbivore Men. These are things, when you listen to folks like Kevin Samuels, when you listen to people who are BGS Ibmore, these folks they've listened to Sandman. I know, they'll tell you. They remember, you know, I discovered Sandman in 2014. And so I probably consumed 40 or 50 videos a week while I was just working out, running around. And I would listen over and over and over again to all these videos. And so because of that, I became aware. It's almost like Red Pill Knowledge was the glue that brought everything together for me. I had a shucks moment like every other, you know, day. Like, oh, wow. So I want you guys to make sure that you check out Sandman's videos. This is not just about men going their own way. It's about knowledge. It's about a true understanding of male and female nature. So, you know, do yourself a favor, because it's a treasure. It's truly a treasure to have someone like Sandman MGTOW here. I want to thank you again for coming back to the broadcast. Thank you so much, Sandman MGTOW.
Thanks again.
And if you will send us on our way in the way you normally do, I'd greatly appreciate it.
So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.